everyone, this is Monday, June the 10th. This is a special meeting. It is a committee of the whole. In order to take up docket item 138-13, which is honor the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate an amount that is yet to be determined, however it has now been determined, for bond and indebtedness for the purpose of funding the town school renovation project. So on your desk this evening, there should be a revised memo explaining all the numbers dated June 10, 2013. So please disregard the same memo that you got in the packet over the weekend, and please make sure that you have this one. All right, Maureen, are you or Josh going to present this?
Mr. Chairman, as I think you all know, what we've tried to do with these last couple of projects is know our costs before we come into you. So we've been coming with a little bit more of a sense of urgency, but at least we really have our bids in hand. We had projected this to be a $12.7 million project, and we are happy to be standing here telling you that what we are looking for tonight is the balance of what we need to make the 12.7. So if you look on the sheet that Mr. Chairman was telling you, the one that was on your desk, you have already approved $695,000. So what we are looking to do is amend the docket item to delete the words "an amount that is yet to be determined" and insert the number 12,004,442. And then Josh will certainly talk about how this came in and where we are in the process. But just from the financial perspective, so once again, we wanted to delete the words "an amount that is yet to be determined" and insert the number 12,004,442.
Just so that's clear to everyone, at the appropriate time, I will be asking for a motion to approve the sum that Maureen just mentioned, which is now, we know, to be $12,004,442. Okay? Any questions on that? All right. Maureen, on Josh.
Thank you. Yes, as part of this, as part of the information we received over the weekend, we have the bid comparison sheet for the car school project. What I'd like to point out is that we had 7 general contractor bids, which was a very good turnout. 10 were pre-qualified, so that's not bad, 70%. Myriad is coming from our office, did an awful lot of work to pull all that information together. It was well over 100 possible bids that were submitted to be qualified. There were close to 20 general contractors that we reviewed, thousands of pages of references, hundreds of phone calls. But that entire process yielded us a good batch of general contractors and files to complete the car school project. The bids came in a pretty good range. It was pretty tight. It was about 20% difference between the low and the high, which is tighter than we've seen on large contracting projects. Fire Station 4, for example, was approximately 30% between the low and the high. So I thought it was a very good bid overall. We're excited to move forward with the project. The numbers came to where we had hoped they'd be and where we told people they'd be, so we're happy to report that, as Maureen said. With that, I think we can open up to questions specific about the project.
Alderman Speed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Josh. Just a quick question. It seems like the contingency number, to make it to the 12.7, is something like, about 4%, is that right?
It's actually about 5%.
Well, it's under 5, because 5 would be 635,000.
It's 5% of the subtotal construction value, which is 10,335,000.
Oh, not the other. I say not the other. Obviously, everything is doable.
Yes, and we can do everything within our power to meet that number. Thank you.
Alderman Offer.
I'm curious, when you do a bid like this, you don't pre-qualify the bids, do you?
This process, we pre-qualify all the bids.
So all of these figures would be qualified, we know something about their background and their history.
That's correct. That's the process. And although it's tedious, literally we call references for every single general contractor and every single cloud sub. So all the trades. So what you're left with before you even bid it or obtain those bids is you're left with a pool of very qualified contractors for this project. And again, I want to specify, it's not that the contractors that were disqualified, it's not to say that they weren't capable, it's that they weren't the best people for this particular project.
And it looks, I'm not sure, but it looks like you're going to be able to take all alternates?
We intended to take all alternates. We looked at the process, we looked at the alternates in question. At this point, what we're looking at is taking the first two alternates, the third, although we would like to take, we're comfortable. We didn't want to pressure that contingency number too far. We felt that it was in the best interest of the project and the taxpayers to not pick up that third alternate.
Josh, so I just wanted to ask Josh, can you just quickly summarize, the three alternates that you and then the two that you're accepting and the one you're not?
Sure. The first alternate was the removal of the asbestos floor tile on the first floor and replacement of the vinyl tile. The asbestos tile is in very good condition, and that's why it was pulled out as an alternate. But there is a certain amount of risk you take when you're doing construction projects, and you have to roll over top of asbestos tiles. So there was a little bit of liability there. And then in the end, even in good condition, we are trying to eliminate asbestos wherever we can, so we thought it was in the best interest. And then also in the end, aesthetically, it gives us the best product, and it's something that we can seal and work with over time. And it's never going to get less expensive than we're doing it as part of a larger product. The second alternate was acid washing and masonry on the building, which is something that we pulled out as an alternate, again, to make sure that we left ourselves a little room on the bid. But for the money that we spend on that, we feel it's an incredible value added to the project, and in the end, it gives us a nice, clean, tight envelope on the outside. So we're really looking forward to what that's going to bring to the project.
And the third one?
The third one was construction of wooden cubbies. So we again, it's a solid alternate, but the issue there was that it's not mission critical necessarily, and there's opportunity to obtain those cubbies through FF&E. There's already a process in place that the school department uses to obtain those.
So my last question, and I'll leave it up. So I'm just trying to reconcile the numbers from the big chart you gave us and the final number. And with all things, it's a little bit of like,
that's correct. But it's a little complicated, and I think I know where you're getting at.
Yeah.
Is if you're looking at the file sub-bid, it gets a little more complex. So ultimately, what happens is alternate one is accurate. Alternate two actually goes down a little bit, and I can get into the details. That's when the breakup of the file sub-bid.
Okay, so we might need to provide a little over
exactly. Basically, what happens is the second file sub-bid, there's a net reduction in the masonry cost because the second alternate is actually a little less expensive.
Okay, I think I get it.
Okay.
All the best.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to ask. First of all, I just don't remember whether we included air conditioning with the car school.
We didn't. That was something that we took a look at. One of the challenges with the car school, when you're looking at the benefits of it, first of all, it's a temporary swing space building. The second thing, when we looked at that, was that, as a swing space building, every other year, we are going to be moving students out and moving students in. So there's going to be one full summer every other year where there's not a need for air conditioning in that facility. So that was a decision that we had to make. We felt that it was in the best interest of the city as well as the school department.
And as I understand, it's like how many years is this going to serve as a swing school?
Well, the investment is a long-term investment as far as swing school operations. The other thing that we look at is that the average lifespan of mechanical equipment is 20 years. That's the current plan as far as the investment that we're making as a swing space. So at 20 years, there would be a potential to whatever that use may be, and that time's out for the end of useful life of mechanical equipment, now it's time to replace it with systems that have air conditioning. This system that we're installing, if we were to retrofit or replace the air conditioning units, we would be able to fairly easily install air conditioning in the household.
And my final question to the main, Mr. Chairman, is I just asked about whether the building is entirely ADA accessible, and if not, that's going to be remedied during the renovation.
It is not currently, but it will be as part of this project.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Alderman Ford?
Thank you. I know we're not supposed to look at the old version of this sheet, but how did design and consulting, how did it reduce from 1.1 million to 870,000?
So,
actually, somebody came up, I was not here till the end of last week when this was prepared. So when I took a look at it, I said to Josh, that wasn't exactly how we were reflecting this in all the conversations we've had. It was always going to be 12.7 million. It hasn't technically, the design hasn't technically all disappeared. The school department had put in initially $300,000. That's never been part of the calculation as we were talking about the 12.7. So, In total, it really comes closer to 13 on paper at the moment. We definitely know that we have a few places where we expect to get this number back down. But the 12.7 that we wanted, that's what I wanted to make sure we saw tonight what the difference was.
May I ask a follow-up question? I think I'd like to know the total cost of the current building, regardless of whether it's funded or not funded. Then are you saying that's 13 million?
I'm saying that at the moment what we're asking for is the initial 300 that the school department put in, the 12.7 that we intend to bond as a city. We still have to bid out two more of the sub-bids, which we think we have significant amount of room in those. We also have the contingency topic. And so in the end, we'll certainly know what the best answer tonight is when we add the 300 that the school's put in is 13. But 12.7 is what we always said we thought.
And the two sub-bids that haven't gone out yet, are those part of the 12.7?
Yes. Yes. No, part.
So there's an estimate in there for those.
Yes.
Look at the.
Yes.
Thank you.
Alderman Larea.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to follow up on my colleague Alderman Fuller's question for me, if I could. So the project you're telling us is $13 million, not $12.7.
Right, but what we're asking for the bargain, which is what we were saying all along, is 12.7.
Right, but I share Alderman Fuller's observations here. It seems to me I'm less concerned which pot is coming out of, and more concerned with the total price tag. That's number one. Number two, I do not understand why, from the school department's operating funds for getting $300,000 applied to a capital project. Are you saying that was always the plan?
Well, because it was actually in, I'm not sure if it's that way, 12 money. The problem is, if we were to try to bond design money before we had approved any of the spending, or actually building the building, we can only bond it for 5 years. And so, just as we did with the Angel project, the school department put $750 up front for the Angel work, because we knew these would take a couple of years to get to the point where we were coming back to you as a board to look for all of the construction funds. Now, Angel works a little differently because if we get reimbursement from MSBA on the design funds, that will all revert back to the school department. On this project, we're not getting MSBA funding. So you are correct in your observation that the schools put up
$300,000. So so on the Angel project, $750,000 came out of the school's operating budget, and effectively a loan. Because you said it was all coming down
hopefully in the 200, 250 range, maybe even a little bit more, whatever they reimburse us for those costs, we will actually.
I guess I'd say this, it seems to me, I don't know how my colleagues feel, but going forward, a couple of things. One, I think it's personally important about the overall cost of the project, not which project. Two, I really don't think it's appropriate for the school department operating budget, which we reallocate. It seems to me it should not be going for capital projects. It should be going for running the school system on a day-to-day basis. And yet when we mix these costs, our numbers and our way of thinking get skewed. So it is what it is now, but going forward, I really urge us not to be doing that. It seems to be the wrong way to go.
Okay. I'll make sure that it's much more clear.
To the ultimate point though, it's not like the feasibility money for the aid of the school was funded by the school department, what, 2 years ago? Close to it, I think it's been close to 2 years. And it wasn't like they went in and swept some different accounts to come up with the money. I believe it was some one-time money that were given to the school department. I don't know if it was the health holiday, was it the health holiday? Which is what we're going to be doing tonight also. So it wasn't like they had set their budget and then they were asked to find $750,000. It was one-time monies that were given to them and they decided to use it on the feasibility study.
And you know what, I'll put something in the package on fire safety bonus. I don't recall, to be honest, where the 300 came from, but I'll go back and I'll research that. And I'll at least put that in the packet so that we do know, to your point, exactly which how it came about. Because I do know the 750 was a health holiday for Angel, and I do not recall. I don't know what you do. But I'll find that out for you, and I'll put a little memo in the packet.
Thank you very much.
And just for the benefit of those of you that I appreciate people coming in tonight. I know some of you didn't even have a committee meeting, so I want to thank you for doing that. And for the benefit of those who are not on finance, one item that we're taking up in finance tonight is that the mayor has declared a health holiday for 3 weeks, which is going to free up a substantial amount of money, roughly $2.4 million. And the schools will be receiving 50% of that, around 1.2. Okay? I had all of the answer next, and then last, and then
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I ask three quick questions? The lift versus elevator. It said that you will be doing some relocation of the interior wall, the addition of the elevator, etc. I thought I remembered that you were putting some of the in. Could you just describe the further down later and what the difference would be possible?
Sure. A lift is significantly less money, but it's not always allowed based on the project. In this case, where it's a building renovation, you're required to make it ADA compliant, and a full service elevator is required. There's no options there. When you're retrofitting an existing building, depending on a number of parameters, the Massachusetts Architectural Access Board can allow a lift based on those applications.
Okay. My second question was how the removal of asbestos as compared to covering it. You said that the asbestos on the floor is in pretty good condition. For what reason have we decided
instead of covering over to cover the over to remove it, which would be, I'm sure, at the cost? And what will the cost differential be of removing it as compared to flooring over?
Well, encapsulation is beneficial when you're talking about, you know, insulation. The state typically recommends that you encapsulate where you can. But when it comes to a wear surface, it's insulation, it is not a wear surface. When it comes to a wear surface, especially being all the way out of school, even if you were to put tile over it, what that would involve is laying down acid or glue and putting vinyl tile over it. If you were to do that, in the short term, it would be less money. You know, I don't want to commit to an exact dollar, but it would be less money. But in the long term, that tile would last a long, especially
is that due to cost of the actual certificate and that we would get the same benefits and savings, et cetera, by going for the equivalent of the certification as opposed to the certificate itself? Would you just explain to us what the difference is?
The difference is, and you're exactly right, the difference is if you're going for, we'll say, the silver, for example, if you do everything to EV silver, then you have obtained all of those benefits from a sustainability and an operational efficiency standpoint. You just don't have the plaque or the certification to show off. In this case, we're getting all of the benefits. We're just not paying for the plaque or the certificate. And
Alderman Black.
Thank you. I pulled this thing down the line. And do we have a budget?
As opposed to the one page that we left, the partial renovation June 10, 2013?
Yeah.
We don't have a detailed budget because until we award the contract and get the scheduled values, we don't have, unlike in the past where we would come to you, what we would give you is the cost estimate, which broke out in great detail. But once you, the difference is now, we put the bid out, when we get our bids in, all we get is the file subs and the general contractor, and we provide those in the packet. But as far as the actual breakdown, we're telling you how much, you know, the lift cost, or the elevator cost.
So, okay, a couple of questions. First of all, I report happy when the chairman opened the meeting saying that he will now, that the amount to be determined is now known. And then I just heard from Maureen that it's not really known because we have two sub-bids that are still out. What are those sub-bids and how much money are we talking about?
So it's the elevator and the grotto. Basically what happens is under Chapter 149, when we put a product out of bid, if we do not get responses to the file sub-bids, there is a process that you need to follow through Chapter 149. Whereas we hold an allowance for those file subs, and then the procurement agent solicits three responses. If you then can't get three responses, if you don't meet the case here, the general contractor carries that line item and completes the work as part of their project. So in this case, what we've done is we've carried what we consider to be solid estimates and solid allowances for those two trades. And those will be awarded as soon as the pursuit to get those bids back.
And what kind of money are we talking about? I mean, the elevator.
I want to say it was approximately $175,166.
What about the drywall? That sounds like a good
one. The drywall was $250,000?
Yes, $500,000.
Or $500,000, sorry, $250,000.
Okay. So, and you feel confident that we really don't know the exact number.
We don't know the exact number. Nick Reed from the purchasing department put that solicit out yesterday or today. We should have those numbers shortly, but we're confident with the numbers that we're carrying forward.
So why are we here tonight rather than today? Are we on that tight
of schedule? We're on a pretty tight schedule, but as far as this process, we can award the contract. Chapter 129 outlines the process that you're required to take. And in the end, you carry allowance by the way. It's similar, I define it to when we came in for the funding request for the sprinkler project, we carried an allowance for asbestos payment. We came through the same step in the process. We didn't have it locked down, but there are certain parts of procurement where it allows us to do that. And in some cases, it's in the best interest of the city.
So you'll know in a couple of days, and maybe by the time you vote, maybe by the time the whole school board votes, we'll know that number.
Yeah, it should be, because if we're talking, we could full board about this next Monday night.
So you
can
know.
No? Yeah. Okay. All right. Because there, that, again, that Chapter 129 process outlines how long we have to advertise this for, too. So that my next response is going to be I wanted to check and make arrangements before.
I don't know what it is about elevators, but the same thing happened in New North. For some reason, not one elevator company bid on any of the elevators and we had to do a similar process. So I don't know why they don't bid, but they don't seem to bid.
Okay. No, I'm
That's a tremendous amount of work in addition to the 10 general contractors. And they needed the time to be able to do it. Otherwise, we would have had this meeting, and as if we held the night of May 22nd, which if all the work just couldn't get done.
Okay, one more question. The design number 872, 875, that's the agreement we have with the architect? That's the number we have agreed with the architect?
875, 872, 876.
That was the same, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Plus 300.
Yeah. Oh, plus, I'm sorry, yes. Plus the 300 we had talked about already.
Plus the 300.
Yes.
So it is the
million.
It is what you have on the original.
We will go back and redo that sheet point in preventing the virus. But so tonight, in trying to get to the number that you were asking for tonight, we took four different iterations, I think, today to make sure that we have the right number of what we were asking you for tonight. So that was that 12,044,442. This, I understand from this conversation, has become confusing. We didn't even send it to Sean until 4 o'clock or so. So I apologize for that, but we will be using this form and put it on that.
So we want people to come for it? And the one like, no, we want to provide, or that we can take it from the grass.
Well, the 1170 is for the design, right? But the contingency is not where we want to be on that page. And so the contingency on that page is 383 on the new one beginning, which is 581. So a portion of each one is correct at this point.
Okay,
the number that they're asking for is that 12,044, and we will clean this up and get this in your package for Friday, so that before you take the vote next Monday, you'll have all this.
Okay, so the deal we have about the design company, they said we could, but it is the 1-1.
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Alderman
Fisher. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one clarification on the question. The clarification is, maybe you did this at the beginning of the meeting, but I should have a little bit. So you think the low bidder, is that what you reported to them?
Yes, that's correct.
And the low bidder is the first column on one of the invitations to bid.
That's correct.
So when you pick the low bidder who's $1,300,000 on the bidder, so you're going, I mean, I'm sure you have that.
Oh, sir, yes, yes. We're very, you know, part of the process that we went through was to ensure that the design was very clean, that we were making sure that they were all comparing the same thing. Ultimately, what you see happen with bids, sometimes you have contractors that may have more work on their plate, or if they're not as clean, and they end up with a higher number.
And the other question that missed the DRC meeting. I know this item has come up at least once, if not twice. So they have signed off on the exterior and landscaping and revised parking area and sidewalk, etc.
Yes, DRC, we incorporated their concerns and the site plan has been fully approved.
Because I remember there was some issue on the access drive of the parking area between Mount Hunt.
Yes, there were issues there, and we are working with the abutters in that case. So.
And just, I know you haven't done a detailed budget, but what portion of the 12.7 or 13 million is, how would you see the exterior landscaping such work? What order of magnitude is that?
The $650,000,
including Wednesday.
Yes.
Thank you.
Alderman Bailey.
So, Josh, just a question. When you typically award a low bidder, I guess that's what we have to do.
board order, as with other projects, with the different line items categories that we advocated, which has been our ongoing practice. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Can I get a couple more questions? Go ahead.
One more follow-up question. This may be more than Josh, but let's see. It looks like you perfectly raised the contingency to the 5%. But that means that you're just going to, since all the other numbers are staying the same, you're squeezing down the design number and taking out about 15% of the design in order to keep the 12.7. So the question is, can we actually do that and have an appropriate amount of design work done, or should we really be talking about increasing the 12.7 to 12.9?
Again, what this is, if we're not squeezing the design number down, that $300,000 that the school department initially up front above the design money.
No, I understand that, but even with the $300,000 of the school funding, you're still, in order to keep it at 12.7, you've increased the contingency. So I think you're still squeezing down. Do you have to squeeze down the design money to make the numbers work?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, no, but I think what we're trying to say is that only there are hours on both of these forms at this point. And so what you will see when we include that 300, it will be 13. But the 300, and I know it's a split of hairs, but as we were talking about the 12.7 all along through all our conversations, I wasn't looking at the 300. But so that 300 really gets added.
So we have not set that on the design. Thank you.
Susan, and then I'd like to get a motion.
So I have one question about the elevator. I wanted to follow up on the question. So as I recall, the elevator thing that we were thinking about for City Hall was in the neighborhood of 900,000. Is that right?
No, so, and there's a misconception there too. The elevator is an elevator and accessibility improvement to the former model wing, so it's a little more than just an elevator, but that was approximately 600,000.
600,000.
So, the elevator cars only 175? It's just a different project. I'll give you to put your mind at ease. The Pierce School we recently put out together was approximately $165,000. It's just a different project. That's why I said it's in City Hall, it's much more than just an elevator. And there's some major work that we have to do in order to install that elevator in this building.
On the City Hall elevator, we've had a lot of conversations about which floors this elevator should go to. And so if we wanted to include the basement, which really we're going to do, we're going to do it right. So if there's somebody who's at an event in the War Memorial, and the event has been going down to the cafeteria, say, or, you know, social time, and they went back up. If we don't have a stop to the basement, any person would be in the same category that they are now. They still have to get somehow from over there and over here to take the elevator to the basement. And so each stop on an elevator is about $75,000. So this elevator is going to have more stops in it than one would at any of the schools that we're talking about. So that partly increases the cost also.
And I just want to ask Dr. Mary, just to remind me that the cost of the variance for the elevator itself, literally just the elevator, it's not masonry, not everything built, we didn't install the elevator. So.
Thank you. And my last question really is for me, and I just follow up on what the fan is saying, is that with the numbers being shoved this way and that way, it has a feeling of, you know, let's make these numbers come to 12.7 million. And maybe that's something that you really feel is 100% important, and that's the way it should be. You know, but if from my perspective, if you needed another 200,000 to 400,000, it would be worth doing. I just wanted to say that. And that's by the time you see this on Friday, it's going to say 13 million. But even, I mean, regardless of the 300, when we had that,
regardless of the $300,000 which was in the school committee budget, regardless of that, I'm saying that whatever is being, something's going to get valued engineered, it's bound to happen. And maybe it's because we're holding to the 12.7, and maybe it's the right thing to do, but all I'm saying is that if you had any thoughts that there were $300,000 or $400,000 worth of stuff that probably may have been cut because you're holding to the 12.7, that would have, you know, we would have been friendly perhaps to hear about that. And thank you, but I don't think that any of us know that.
And also, I don't want the impression getting out there that something's being valued engineered. I haven't heard anybody talk about anything being taken out of the project as it's been presented to us all along. As a matter of fact, we're taking two out of the alternates, so if anything, things are being added. So I don't want people thinking that we're cutting any of the recommendations that have been made by the school department and the building department. It's just it's the opposite. We're adding a couple of things. So, and it's a $13 million budget. Okay? Alright, anything else? I found the discussion of the City Hall elevator exciting, but I got about 20 items from my finance committee, so it's time to move along. So, Alderman Johnson is moving that the dollar number to be bonded be approved at $12,400,000. Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, we can do this. Why don't we do a little show of hands in the committee of the whole? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I see 12 in favor. Any in opposition? Two abstentions? All right, two abstentions. Okay, so this will be reported out to the full board next Monday. And in the meantime, I'm sure Maureen will get the biased copies. It'll make the numbers a little clearer. Is there a motion to adjourn the committee of the whole? Motion to adjourn. All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? All right. Finance, we're going to get you all right away.
Good night. Enjoy.